present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello, and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us from historic Cambridge. Yay! Part of Queen's College, Cambridge's famous mathematical bridge is widely regarded as an architectural feat as it uses exclusively straight pieces of timber to create an elegant arch. There's a long-standing belief that no screws were used in the making of the mathematical bridge, but that's nothing more than a local legend. The only thing that's generally not screwed in Queen's College are the mathematicians. Beside the gardener's cottage at Victoria Gate is a dog cemetery. Opened in 1880, the first dog buried there was Nipper, the Duchess of Cambridge's beloved Jack Russell. Nipper's simple headstone read, "Stay." East of Cambridge is the village of Islam, whose late vicar, the Reverend Christopher Goodwins, famously translated the Bible into limericks. Of the Ten Commandments, he wrote, "Give honour to mum and to dad, and don't murder folk, cos that's bad. Adultery is wrong, so is stealing along with saying your neighbour's a cad." Which is a definite improvement on his attempt to retell the story of Genesis. In Eden, first man Adam frolics with Eve in an orchard bucolic. But when God makes it chilly, Adam covers his willy with one leaf and two more for his bollocks. King Charles III studied at Cambridge despite graduating in 1970 from Trinity College with a second-class degree in history. Charles's name tends not to feature in the university's graduate outcomes survey due to the fact it took him 52 years to get a job. We are tonight coming to you from Cambridge's Corn Exchange. And talking of exchanging corn, let's meet the teams. On my left, please welcome Miles Jupp and Lucy Porter. And on my right, Tony Hawkes and Henning Vane. And taking his place on the scoring desk next to me, please welcome our resident tree trunk in trunks, the Immaculate Sven. Okay, we start this week with some new additions to the Uxbridge English Dictionary. A good dictionary is essential for learning the correct use of similar terms. For example, many people don't know the subtle difference between the words Gaviscon and Bisodol. Well, Gaviscon refers to a medicine which neutralizes excess stomach acid, whereas Bisodol refers to an unsuccessful shopping trip. But the meanings of words are constantly changing, team. So your suggestions, please, of any new definitions you may have spotted recently. You can start this, Miles.
Orbit, a bit of an ore.
Tony.
Redoubtable, capable of being recited aloud.
Henning.
Lieutenant, the person renting your toilet.
And Lucy.
Fallacy, a bit like a penis.
Potpourri, where they put the Pope when they go on holiday.
Autobiography, a car's logbook.
Disgruntled, a pig with laryngitis.
Predict, prior to intercourse.
Omnium, radioactive Buddhist.
Screwdriver, prison officer's chauffeur.
Saucy, upside down seesaw.
I've got a modern one. Delulu, de woman who sang de song, de man with de golden gun.
Trimming, A sexual practice in Yorkshire.
Well, the teams are going to do a spot of acting for us now in the round called Sound Charades. Yay! Yeah, this game is all about miming the theatrical technique of suggesting action, character, or emotion without words. The world's most famous mime artist was, of course, Marcel Marceau, whose biggest fan was Michael Jackson. The music superstar borrowed Marceau's trademark moonwalk, his battling against the wind illusion, and famously remained completely silent in court. In our version of charades, team members are permitted to use their voices. So, Tony and Henning, you're to start, please. And your title will shortly be displayed to the audience via the laser display screen. And for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
Trumpton. Trumpton.
So off you go, please, Tony and Henning.
OK, this is a TV programme and it's one word.
One.
One. You're kidding me.
I'm completely serious.
He wants to change it.
Yeah. He wants to change the name of Washington, D.C.
The president wants to change the name of Washington?
That is what he wants.
Well, what the hell does he want to change the name to?
Have a guess.
I think Lucy Porter, speedy as ever, has got it while I've been floundering.
I think it's Trumpton.
OK. Your turn now, Miles and Lucy. Your title is being displayed on the laser display board, and here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Dunkirk. Dunkirk.
This is a film, and it's one word.
What was all that noise from your room last night? Were you doing someone?
Since you ask, yes, I was doing someone, but you won't see him. He's gone back to his ship.
What ship?
The Starship Enterprise.
Well, you can tick him off the list. I'm sure it's a lovely portrait.
That's it, is it? Doing is part of it, is it? Doing?
Yeah.
Doing.
Yeah.
But doing somebody who's a character on the... Dunkirk?
It's now time to play a round called Garden or Bedroom. First aired in 1947, Radio 4's Gardener's Question Time is a hardy perennial of broadcasting. Though not a gardener myself, I still find the show highly informative. Only the other day I heard Bob Flowerdew telling listeners that the best thing to put on your rhubarb is horse manure, when, like a fool, I've just been adding custard. In this round, teams, I'd like you to come up with phrases that might be suitable to use both in the bedroom and in the garden. Miles, you can start.
Well, my goodness, what a long hose.
Tony.
That needs forking.
Lucy.
It was all getting a bit much for my husband, so now I have a Portuguese lad who comes twice a week.
Henry.
Oh, no, they're all dead.
Well, this has been beautifully landscaped.
That rose doesn't do well in a bed, but loves it up against the wall.
Off the end with a pair of secateurs.
I'd like to try something I've seen Alan Titmarsh do.
Well, I've opened the back door for the gardener.
I have a special cushion for when I'm down on my knees.
It's nice and dark in here, so you can start to force your rhubarb.
Oh, dear, the bed is drenched.
See if you can find the clematis.
It was the trailing variety, but you've managed to get it shooting right up my trellis.
Let's try again in the spring.
Yes, it's a tough job, but it's a lot easier with gloves on.
I think if we cut back this bush, the man next door will be very, very grateful.
It's about time to prick out my pissy willow.
Where are all of these ants coming from?
Do you think these plums are good enough for the harvest festival?
And the cucumbers usually go up this end.
It looks like something is nesting in there.
Well, it's now time to play the game called Mornington Crescent. But first, I notice our postman bent double under the weight of a letter. It comes from a Mrs. Trellis of North Wales. She writes, "Dear Sylvester Stallone, so sorry to read about your marital problems. I gather your first was rocky, and the next... and the next was rocky too. In sympathy, Mrs. Trellis." Well, on with the game, and this week we'll be playing Cambridge Rules, based on Cambridge's close association with the world of Russian spies. Stovold's primary rules will apply, doubles will be inverted, and movement beyond the third perimeter will be considered oblique. However, in this version, stations on the Moscow Metro may be included. But remember, teams, any player invoking a metro station must precede it with a secret password. So, nothing could be simpler. Off we go. And, Tony, you can start.
Belsize Park.
So it's Park... Lucy?
Turnpike Lane.
Turnpike Lane, yes. Henning.
Rayner's Lane.
Yes, Henning, yes. Rayner's Lane. And Miles.
Condiment Krasnozelskaya.
Sorry, that's the wrong password. You have three more attempts.
Bistro?
No, it's not. It's not Bistro.
Deerstalker?
No.
Samovar?
Correct, correct.
Krasnozelskaya?
Yes, that's fine, yes.
OK, you said doubles will be inverted, is that right?
Yes.
So I can go Pimlico?
We can't go to Pimlico because that would be taking a vector across.
Oh, yeah. I made a fool of myself.
Yeah.
Victoria works, though, doesn't it?
Victoria's is OK. Yes, you can have Victoria.
Chalfont and Latimer?
Chalfont and Latimer works, yes, okay. Yes.
Canning Town?
Canning Town?
Yeah.
Not after Chalfont and Latimer, no.
Yeah, beginner's mistake. We play different rules in Germany.
Yeah. You certainly do.
I stay roughly in that part of the capital.
Yes.
And I go Kensington High Street.
Kensington High Street.
Harleyford Road.
The weather is unreasonably inclement for this time of year.
What?
Sorry. I'll go Green Park.
Green Park, yes.
Clockwork.
Is the correct password.
Nice. But now, Filiowski Park?
Is correct.
Nice. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, good.
Tooting Beck?
Yes, you can have Tooting Beck.
Password, all caps.
No, you have to have a special character in it.
Oh, sorry, yes, password, all caps, exclamation, and the O in Word is actually a zero.
Yes, correct, yes.
Kievskaya.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Piccadilly.
Piccadilly?
Gunnersbury?
Gunnersbury is acceptable.
Dagenham East.
Yep, that's okay.
Okay.
Cock Fosters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as a password.
It actually is a password. What was your station?
Novoslobodskaya.
Correct.
Mornington Crescent! Yes!
Well, the next game is called Complete Advertising Slogans. I shall read out the first part of some popular advertising slogans. Your job is to try and complete them. Okay. So, you can have this first one, Miles. Can you finish off this advertising slogan? Plop, plop, fizz, fizz, oh.
I do beg your pardon.
It was, what a relief it is, Alka-Seltzer. Lucy, how about this one? Can you finish it off for me? There are some things money can't buy. For everything else, there's...
Shoplifting.
MasterCard, that was. Wasn't it? Henning, how about this one? Mr. Muscle loves the jobs...
The Polish used to do.
Loves the jobs you hate. And finally, Tony, how about this one? Lip smacking, thirst quenching, ace tasting, motivating, good buzzing, cool talking, high walking, fast living, ever giving, cool fizzing.
And Jones, solicitors.
Obviously, that was Pepsi. Miles, British Gas. Don't you just love being in...
Continent.
In control. How about this, Lucy? You too can have a body like...
The one I've got under the patio.
Like mine, a Charles Atlas advert. Henning, how about this one? Don't say gravy, say...
Vegane Bratensauce.
Say Bisto. Tony, Ferrero Rocher, Ambassador, you really are...
A slimy, treacherous bastard.
OK, here are some unfinished advertising slogans for any of you to finish off. BMW, the ultimate...
In unused indicators.
The ultimate driving machine. And at 60 miles an hour, the loudest noise in the new Rolls-Royce comes from...
The old racist chuntering away in the back.
From the electric clock, as a Rolls-Royce advert. How about this? Skegness. It's so...
So.
It's so bracing. How about this one? Does she or doesn't she? Only her...
Victims could tell you.
It's actually only her hairdresser knows for sure, Clairol hair dye. If it's on, it's...
Making a buzzing sound.
If it's on, it's in. That's Radio Times. Well, I didn't come here to get smut from the audience. How about this one? See the face you love light up with...
The menopause.
Terry's all gold. How about this? Churchill, surprisingly passionate about...
Not giving India back.
And this one. Shake the bottle, wake the...
Tramp.
Wake the drink, Arangina, Tony. And this one. Soft, strong, and very...
Difficult to flush.
Very long, it was Andrex advert. There's this one. Come home to a real...
IRA member.
to a real fire British gas. And finally, cup hands, here comes...
About 2 weeks' worth. A bit rude, Lucy.
It's cup hands.
I don't know why you wrote that on a note and passed it to me. A bit rude.
It's cup hands. Here comes Cadbury's. Cadbury's drinking chocolate. Something none of us will ever have again. Well, it's time for some music now in the round called Swanee Kazoo. This is where the teams duet to combine the ethereal sigh of the Swanee whistle with the honking huff of the kazoo. According to linguists, the word kazoo is first recorded in the oral traditions of Native American Indians, which speak of a shamanic figure named Blowing Wind, who would intone for hours on a primitive kazoo to conjure the spirits of his dead ancestors for the tribal elder, Chief Fingers in Ears. And providing piano accompaniment, we have Colin Sell. Incidentally, Colin was telling us how he spent the best part of his career with 10cc before the pizza restaurant relented and bought him a more powerful moped. OK, Lucy and Miles, you can start, and I'd like you to provide us with a version of the Blue Danube to feature Miles Jupp on the kazoo and Lucy Porter on the Swanee whistle. Tony and Henning, I'd like you to provide us with a rendition of Always Look on the Bright Side of Life to feature Henning Vane on the kazoo and Tony Hawks on the Swanee whistle. The show. Aww. But there is just time to squeeze in a quick round of Entomologist's Songbook. Our own Sven is a keen amateur entomologist, and I'm delighted to announce that yesterday he donated a prize beetle from his collection to the university's Museum of Zoology. He says he spent a thoroughly enjoyable afternoon in a storeroom watching the gentleman curator carefully mount his magnificent longhorn. I have to thank Harriet Harman for sending that one in. Anyway, teams, in this round, I'd like you please to suggest titles of songs likely to prove popular with insect enthusiasts. You can start this one, please, Lucy.
Gimme, gimme, gimme a mantis after midnight.
Miles.
Like a midge over troubled water.
Henning.
Wasp new pussycat.
Tony.
Ah, ha, ha, ha. Stay in the hive. Stay in the hive.
I can feel it coming in the air, termite.
Please release me. Let me go.
It's the eye of the spider.
I believe in miracles. Since you came along, you tetsy thing.
Message in a beetle.
Be my baby.
You don't have to sing them.
Weevil, weevil, rock you.
The dung ones. Darling, we're the dung ones.
Here we go, here we go, here we go.
Please, Navidad.
God save the Queen.
Mites in white satin.
Oh, Annie. I'm not your daddy long legs.
I like big bugs and I cannot lie.
Swarm, what is it good for?
Then I saw her face, now I'm a beekeeper.
Shiny happy people, beetle rubbish. Absolutely flawless performance, and then I made that one mistake.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the toxic turds of time drift lazily down the cam of contamination, after escaping the Anglian water overflow of eternity, while the local council of incompetence passes yet another meaningless motion into the waste pipe of posterity, I notice it's the end of the show. So from the teams, Sven, myself, and our audience here in Cambridge, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Miles Jupp, Lucy Porter, Henning Vane, and Tony Hawkes are being given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme was devised by Graham Garden, the script consultants were Fraser Steele and Stephen Dick, and the producer was John Naismith.